Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some of you may be familiar with a TV show called Designated Survivor. It was on a few years ago. Confession, I never watched it, but my son and wife watched it through the pandemic. As I understand it, the series was about the adventures of a member of the president's cabinet who wound up becoming president when everyone else in the government was wiped out. Now, when people talk about scenarios like that, who are they talking about being the designated survivor? You'd like to think maybe it's someone with some gravitas, some importance, maybe the Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense. But it usually winds up being the Secretary of Little Jobs, the person who does all of the stuff that no one really thinks about all the time. But to get into the cabinet, you've got to have some credentials. You have to have something going on upstairs. And I thought of that as I was reading the passages for this week, particularly the passage from Mark. Now, I will confess that Peter does not impress in this passage. But before I say, Peter, you're a joke, I'd like us all to think about how we react under stress to things we've never seen before. Now, yes, Peter is one of the disciples. He's traveling around Jesus. He must have seen incredible things all the time. But that moment on top of the mountain, the moment of transfiguration, must have been wild. Imagine, he just saw Jesus transfigured. And then Jesus wasn't alone. Moses and Elijah were with him. What would your response be under those circumstances? Honestly, Peter's offer to build dwelling places for the three of them might seem weird. It might seem strange. But we're told in the passage that Peter was terrified. And so a nonsensical response would not be unexpected. Well, let's think a little bit more about Peter's response. He was acting in that age-old tradition of the Middle East of offering hospitality to visitors. He wanted to create a place for them to be comfortable. That's not a bad response. And it was in this moment that Jesus could see Peter might be a worthy successor. Not to be a fellow Messiah, but that he would be the one who would lead his church. What's the upshot of this, though? The cloud appears over the mountain, and then the booming voice speaks out. As we read here in the text, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Now, perhaps some of you are thinking about the passage from Luke in which Jesus is baptized and the voice announces from heaven, "This is my son, the beloved, and I'm pleased with him." This voice doesn't sound as friendly or as chipper. This voice sounds like God telling Peter and James and John to listen, to pay attention. And they did. Now, they had this incredible experience, and I'm sure they wanted to share it with others. But they didn't. They kept quiet. Now, they must have been wondering, what is this resurrection that's being talked about? And that, of course, is something we're going to be exploring over the next few weeks. But Jesus had not yet been crucified. Jesus had not yet been dead and buried. Easter had not yet happened. This was all new territory. And frankly, the disciples had no framework in which to process any of these events. Now, Jesus and God are clearly working within the Hebrew framework of the Bible here. Moses and Elijah were two really, really important figures in Hebrew scripture. And associating Jesus with Moses and Elijah and placing Jesus at the center of that story was meant to give some weight to what Jesus was saying. And yes, the church teaches that Jesus was the fulfillment of prophecy, that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Hebrew Bible. And he was. So this is where I can just tell you, okay, you can all go home now. I've unraveled the mysteries of Scripture for you. You're not buying that, are you? There's a bit more to tease out of the puzzle here. But there are times for us to look upon the amazing and the miraculous. There are times for us to meditate upon those things in quiet. And my assumption is that none of us are ever going to have an experience like that of Peter and James and John. But that doesn't mean that God isn't going to appear in our lives, that Jesus will not be a presence with us this very day. Maybe you see God in nature. Maybe you see God in a beautiful sunset. Maybe you see God in football. I hope not. But if you see God there, good for you. Now, what does it mean to see God? I'm not going to tell you, because I don't want to prejudge your experiences. But I'd like you to think back on your lives, and you can look back a week, you could look back 20 years, you could look back to when you were a little kid. And somewhere in that long story, I hope you can recall an experience where you saw and experienced God. And maybe it was positive. And maybe it was negative. Maybe you saw people behaving in a way that Jesus would not have approved of. I've said this before, I'll say it again. The church should not be in the business of reading people out of its ranks. We want everyone here. We don't care whether you're short or tall, fat or thin. Go through the list. We don't care. Jesus does not care. Jesus was willing to have the disciples travel with him through his 3-year ministry. And the disciples were not the most impressive crew available. And yet, Jesus entrusted his community to Peter. Peter, the guy who wanted to build a hut on top of a mountain for this vision that he had of Jesus with Moses and Elijah. Really? Couldn't Jesus do better? I don't think so. Because we know that Peter stuck with the gospel, even though he fell away for a moment when he was challenged by the authorities on the night when Jesus was going to be executed. He still followed Jesus. God is looking for people to follow God. That's important. So after worship, we're going to go have some coffee and some snacks. And then we're going to return to the sanctuary for our annual meeting. I'm not looking for any of you to be a designated successor today. We've got most of our leadership slots filled. Most of our committee slots have been filled. But that doesn't mean we don't want you to step up. The congregational church is based on the involvement of the laity. Think about that. You are the ones who make this place work. Now, if I'd been clever, I would have called today something like Super Bowl CCLX, whatever, because the church has been around for 250 years, and I could have bored you with Roman numerals. But I didn't do that. But this church has been around a long time. It has gone through many ministers over the decades. And it has gone through lots of laity over the years. And some of you have been here a long time. And some of you have not. But all of you bring worth to this community. All of you should be able to help us look for God and for God's presence in our lives. All of us, regardless of how long we have been here, regardless of what we do for a living, all of us can contribute to sharing the gospel. So, Ron, I'm going to call on you now. Do you have a count for our Super Bowl? I was looking at Ron. So, do we have a count for our Super Bowl? The Super Bowl today.
How many cans?
Yeah, we're probably somewhere. Don't have an official count, but it looks like we hit 300.
300 cans. That's food that we're going to be giving to the Super Bowl drive, which will be shared with our neighbors in need. That's a lot of food. And each year we try to do better than the year before. And I have to confess that this year's haul, while impressive, is not going to beat the 500 cans we got the year another congregation joined our drive. But that year should have an asterisk next to it. Because this has been all our doing. So what do cans of soup or lima beans or other foods have to do with the love of Jesus? Everything. We're called in Scripture to love our neighbors, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to love the prisoner. And yes, all of this sounds great, but it's not always easy. This is when we are looked to reach into ourselves and to give more and to do more. This is not the responsibility of the government. It's not the responsibility of some other community. It's not their responsibility. It is our responsibility. Being a Christian means acting. It doesn't mean reciting some formulaic prayer each and every day. It doesn't mean coming to worship, although I love that you come to worship. But Jesus wanted his followers to walk a certain way, to follow a certain path. And we try to do that here in this church. And we're not perfect. I confess we'll stumble sometimes. And we may have disagreements about what's the best way forward. But I would say this, the best way forward is the way that Jesus shows us. It's not what's going to make my ego bigger. It's not what's going to make you happy. It is about the will of God. And that's pretty serious stuff. So hopefully I've given you something to think about and then later on to act on. And I hope you'll be here for the annual meeting, or at least join us online. And if you've got questions, you'll ask them. If you get ideas, you'll share them. And if you've got patience, you'll exercise it. But the annual meeting is part of our church's life, and it's been going on for a long, long time. And the annual meeting at its best should be when God's people show they love one another. Not that they turn around and say, that's a stupid idea. Because nobody here is going to have a stupid idea like building a hut on a mountaintop for Jesus. And if you do, I will applaud your creativity. And if you do, and you're willing to share it with us, you've got guts. And I thank you for having confidence in this community that they will listen to you. But remember, when you have these moments of seeing God, of experiencing the transfiguration, keep quiet. You don't need to tell your neighbor that you just had this amazing experience that they're never going to have. Think about it. Dwell on it. And then share the love of God through your actions and through your measured words. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for the gifts of the prophets, Elijah and Elisha, for Moses too, and for all the faithful throughout the years who have lived to serve you and to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.